Studies have shown that only 5% of Americans have written down goals for their lives. Only 5%. 95% of the people in the world are never going to do what we're talking about tonight. If you have ever written down a goal for your life, actually written it out with a deadline, congratulations, you're in the top 5%. And those same studies have shown that that same 5% who write down goals for themselves are also the same 5% that are the highest wage earners in our nation.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Well, we're in the last couple of days of our series called God's Prescription for a Healthy Life. In it, Pastor Rick Warren has been showing us how to improve our health physically, spiritually, relationally, and emotionally by applying the five essentials needed for a more vibrant life. If you want to have what it takes to live out your calling, stay with us for this amazing series. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part three of a message called The Awesome Power of Focus.
The biggest barriers you're ever going to have in your goal setting are emotional barriers. They are emotional barriers that are inside you that keep you from attempting more than you've ever thought of before. You know, it's very easy for God to humble you, but it's very hard for God to get you to think bigger than you've ever thought before. And so you have to get beyond the emotional barriers. As I said earlier, it may be the fear of success, or it may be the fear of failure. And we often fear both at the same time. So you ask yourself, what are the barriers? Now, what's the best way to handle the problems? Because you're going to have problems. Well, the best way to handle them is the way Jesus said to handle them. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, he says this, "Don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough problems of its own. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." There's enough problems for today. You don't need to be adding on trouble and worrying about the problems that are going to be happening next March or next June or next November. He says, take life one day at a time. And that's how you handle giant problems. You take them one day at a time. It's like that old cliche, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Just a little bit. If you got a big boulder in front of you, you don't take it on all at once. No, you chip it off a little bit at a time. When my kids were little, they used to listen to Salty tapes, Salty albums. And one of the songs that Salty used to sing was, "I'm climbing my mountain one step at a time." You're going to face some big mountains. Some of you are going to face some health mountains. You don't even know about it yet, but you're going to face it. You're going to face some health mountains and other kinds. And how do you handle it? Good advice from Salty. Handle it one step at a time, one day at a time. That's how you just handle your problems.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com.
Thanks for being with us for today's broadcast. You know, it's your prayers and financial gifts that help keep this Daily Hope teaching going out day after day to people all around the world. Earlier this month, we let you know about a special $25,000 matching grant that would double your gift by June 30th. Well, we've got some incredible news. Not only did we match the $25,000, but another generous friend was so inspired by your response that he's offered a second matching grant of $15,000. That means whatever amount you send in will be matched, up to $15,000. So $25 becomes $50, $100 becomes $200, and $500 becomes $1,000. Whatever you send will be doubled. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, I just want to take a quick second to say thank you, everybody. Because of your generosity, we're able to take the hope of Jesus Christ into places where there are no Bibles, no believers, and no body of Christ, no churches at all. Now, as you pray about giving, I want to ask you to ask God about sending a gift that's the largest you're able to give, because at this point in the year, we have a donor
who has offered to match your gift. That means what you give will be doubled. We get twice the bang for the buck, in other words. So please respond quickly and give in such a way that we can maximize it through this matching gift. And I want to ask you this. Would you pray for us at Daily Hope? Pray as we reach out to people around the globe with the hope that people will find Christ by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. So thank you for being a partner with me to getting the message out.
We'll say thanks for your gift today, which will be doubled by the $15,000 matching grant, by sending you Pastor Rick's 365-day book, The Daniel Plan Devotional. It's the one essential ingredient you don't want to live without for a better, healthier you. Give now to have your gift doubled and request your copy. Visit us online at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. Or you can text the word daily to 99000. That's the word daily to 99000. And thank you for your generous support to share the hope of Christ. There are only 2 days left to have your gift matched, so don't wait.
Once again, here's Rick.
Step 7 in godly goal setting is to design a plan. Once you know what the problems are, you've diagnosed, you know where you are, you know where you want to go, and you know what's in the middle between you and your goal, what the obstacles are, now you design a plan to overcome those problems. Now, Eleazar had to design a plan to overcome the problems of finding Isaac a wife. And his plan is really quite a masterpiece. It was well thought out. It was step by step. And the Bible tells it to us. Let me read a little bit of it. In verse 10, it says this. Eleazar took with him 10 of Abraham's camels loaded with samples of the best of everything his master owned. Now, Abraham was a very, very wealthy man. So he's taking 10 camels and a lot of loot. You know, he's going to wow this woman once he finds her. He's going to show her all of the booty, all of the bounty, all of the treasure that he's got for her. So he takes 10 camels with all the best of everything his master owned. And he journeys to Iraq to Nahor's village. And there he made the camels kneel down outside the town beside a well. Now, why is he doing that? Because he knows that this is where the women come. In Middle Eastern culture, in the afternoon, late afternoon, in the early evening, the women of the town go out to the well. They take their jugs to get water for the evening. And so he knows they're all going to come to him. Instead of him going and trying to look around, he goes to the place they go to. He goes to the watering well where there's going to be a lot of women. Now, some of you keep saying, you know, I'm waiting for God to drop a husband in my lap. It ain't going to happen. You got to go to the watering well where the future potential husbands are. It's called Saddleback Church. We have 14,000 single adults in this church. 14,000. That's a big watering well. And so this year on Valentine's Day, we're going to put all the women over here and all the men. No, I'm just kidding. Matchmaker. You know, I could do that. But, you know, in this day, he doesn't have eHarmony to find a wife for Isaac. There's no dating service. So what does he do? He goes to the place where women hang out. And that's smart. He's got a plan. And he has all of his camels kneel down right there by the well. So it says, it was evening, and the women of the village were coming out to draw water, just like he figured they would. And he says this, I'm going to ask one of them for a drink. Now, let me stop right there and say this. For a stranger to ask a woman he's never met for a drink would be unheard of. Because in that day, in that culture, there is no way that you talk to a woman in public if you don't know her. I mean, that would just be rude. It would be impolite. It would be shocking. It would be a disgrace. So he's really going out on a limb here. He's going to ask a total stranger, a woman, for a drink of water. Now, that's a big enough deal in itself. But he said, here's his test. I will ask one of them for a drink. And if she says, yes, certainly, and I will water your camels too, Let her be the one, God, that you have appointed as Isaac's wife. Now, we don't get this because we don't understand camels. Do you know how much water a camel can drink? A single camel can put down about 15 gallons of water. So this is no small task. He's got 10 camels, and they can each drink 15 gallons each. Do you realize how many trips to the well that woman's going to have to make? With a little jar, bringing it up, pouring it, going back, pouring it. It could take her an entire hour, at least, to feed or to water 10 camels. So when he says, okay, God, I'm going to go here, and I'm going to ask a group of strangers, can I have a drink of water? And the woman who says yes, then if she says, and let me water your camels too, I'll know she's the one. Now, why is he doing this? Because Eleazar is looking for a woman who is kind and who is generous and who has a servant's heart and who is thinking of others and who is sympathetic and all of the qualities that would make her a good wife, in that she is willing to give out, she's willing to share, she's willing to serve, she's willing to sacrifice, which is a quality both men and women need. But he's looking for this, and he's saying, you know, if she says, I'll water your camels, then I know that's the one, Lord. Now, the amazing thing is the plan works. It works great. And all the women come out, and you read the story in Genesis 24, and they come out to get water, and a woman comes out named Rebecca, and she is drop-dead gorgeous. And he later finds out that she just happens to be from the same extended family, tribe as Abraham. So she's going to have the same faith and all the things that Abraham had said. These are the requirements. And she comes out and he says, will anybody here give me a drink of water? And Rebecca says, oh, I will. And while I'm at it, let me give water to all your camels. He's thinking, this has got to be the one. And so now in verse 22, it continues the story up here on the screen. It said, when the camels had finished drinking, he gave her a gold ring for her nose. Oh, we have piercings in the Bible. Those of you teenagers need a scripture reference proof, see me after church. I'll give them to you. Okay. He gave a gold ring for her nose and two large bracelets for her wrists. So he's already doling out the treasure. And then he says, whose daughter are you? He asks. Would your father have any room to put us up for the night? Now, this guy's really smart. Here's his plan. He designs a plan. He knows the problem. I got to find a wife. And he says, first I'm going to go to the watering well where all the women hang out. And then I'm going to set up a test. Ask for a drink of water and see if they'll also give water to my camels. And then I'm going to give whoever does that some expensive gifts. And then I'm going to ask about her family. And then I'm going to get invited to her home. It's a step-by-step plan to reach his goal. It's five steps. And actually, after that, he's got another five in the rest of the chapter, which we don't have time to get into. But to develop your plan for 2006, you need to ask two questions. Here they are. Number one, how do I intend to get there? I know where I am and I know where I want to go. How do I intend to get there? And the other question is, how long will it take? So you need to ask yourself as you design your plan, how and how long will it take? And you think through a course of action. Now, any planning has three parts to it. So I want you to write down these three words. When you make a plan for your business, you make a plan for your family, or for your kids or anything, it should have all three of these things in it. First word is the word steps. And you say, okay, what are going to be the steps to get from A to Z? Step one, step two, step three, step four. And you just write down the steps. The second word is the word deadline. And you put a date with every one of those steps. And you say, by the end of January, I will have finished step one. And by February 10th, I will finish step two. And by February 28th, it'll be step three. And step four by March, end of March. And step five, and you put a deadline, a date. If you don't have a date for your goal, it's not a goal. It's a wish. A goal is a statement of faith that says, I believe God wants me to accomplish this by this time, and I'm going to do it in faith. So you have a deadline. And the third thing is the word schedule. You put it in your schedule. You actually write it into your calendar, and you put on this date, I will have done this. And by this date, I will have done this. You see, a lot of people write out goals, and then they put them in a little notebook and file them on the shelf and never accomplish them because they don't put it into your schedule. This is the key. Get it onto your calendar. Show me your calendar, and I'll show you what's important to you. Because regardless of what you say is important, if I can look at your checkbook stubs and your calendar, I can tell you what's important to you. Because the way you spend your time and the way you spend your money reveals your priorities. Now, what I'm sharing with you, what Tom's sharing with you, is so rare. Studies have shown that only 5% of Americans have written down goals for their lives. Only 5%. 95% of the people in the world are never going to do what we're talking about tonight. If you have ever written down a goal for your life, actually written it out with a deadline, congratulations, you're in the top 5%. And those same studies have shown that that same 5% who write down goals for themselves are also the same 5% that are the highest wage earners in our nation. Successful people set their direction and they go for it. Unsuccessful people drift. They just let life happen to them. They don't have any goals. They're not clear. They don't know where they're going in life. At the end of this year, just be another year gone by, just like 2005, another year blown. So how do I intend to get there? How long will it take? And I write down some steps and I write down some deadlines and I schedule it. Now this gets tough because you see, eventually all dreaming means you have to wake up. All dreaming means that I'm one day going to have to wake up and it's going to deteriorate into work. Hate to tell you that, but it does. And then we come to the next step. Tom's going to talk about the next one.
And that's step 8, discipline your personality. Goals involve work and they also involve discipline. Truth of the matter is, nothing great is ever accomplished without discipline. It's a part of every great thing that's ever accomplished. And when it comes to discipline in your own life, that means growth because the disciplines in our lives help us to grow. And while you're working on your goal, God is working on you. You see, anytime you set a goal for something to grow, that means if that thing is going to grow, you have to grow. It can't grow without you growing. Growing businesses require growing workers, growing managers, growing CEOs. If you don't grow, it's not going to grow. You want your marriage to grow. Growing marriages require growing husbands and growing wives. We have to be growing in order for what we want to grow to grow. So the question about this one is, ask, where do I need to grow? Where do I need to grow? What kind of person do I need to be? The best goals are the goals that challenge you to grow. If you think up a goal and you think, you know, that's a great goal, but I could never reach that. I'm not patient enough. Perfect goal. If you have a goal in mind where you think, I don't have enough faith to be the kind of person that could reach that goal, there's no better goal for you. Because that kind of goal, not only are you going to reach toward that thing that you want to see happen, but also you're going to be growing all the way along the way. And the truth of the matter is, God is far more interested in what's happening in you, your growth and character, than in you reaching the goal. Now, why is that? Is it because the goal isn't important, the project? No, it could be incredibly important. It's just that you're more important. That goal, that project, it might last the rest of your life. It might even last into the next generations. But you're going to last into eternity. And so the growth that's happening in your life is incredibly important to God when it comes to us reaching towards these goals. And disciplining ourselves to reach a goal is one of the ways that every one of us grows in life. Eliezer, in reaching towards this goal, is a great example of personal discipline. In fact, you see written there in your outline, 4 areas of personal discipline. That if you're going to reach goals in your life, these are 4 areas of personal discipline that all of us need. Beginning in verse 21, Eliezer shows us you got to discipline your decisions. That's one we don't think of much. He didn't act too quickly. He didn't act on a whim. In verse 33, he disciplined his appetites. He didn't eat a meal until they finished figuring out the goal. And sometimes if you're going to reach a goal, you have to defer a pleasure. In verse 49, he disciplined his words. He was tactful in his conversation. And if we're going to reach a goal, sometimes you have to discipline your words. That's a tough one. You have to discipline your anger. And then in verse 56, this is a huge one, he disciplined his time. Procrastination has ruined more goals than just about anything else, so he disciplined his time. He disciplined his decisions, his appetites, his words, and his time.
Step number 9 is depend on people. Depend on people. You're never going to achieve much in life until you learn to involve other people. Success is never, 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 never a one-man show. It always involves other people. And if you're going to achieve more than you think you can, it's going to involve other people. Now, this is so important because God doesn't want you to just go through life as a lone ranger. He made us to need each other. He made us to be better together, to cooperate and to learn. The greatest lesson in life that God wants you to learn is to learn how to love. If you miss that one, you've missed the number one lesson in life, learning how to love others. And if all of your goals can be accomplished simply by yourself, I'll tell you something. Your goals, number one, aren't big enough, and number two, aren't from God. Because God doesn't want you to live a selfish little life where everything you can do it by yourself. God wants you in the meantime to learn cooperation, to learn teamwork, to learn sensitivity, to learn kindness, to learn deference, to learn all of the different characteristics that involve getting along with people. Somebody asked John D. Rockefeller, the first billionaire, what skill he would pay the most for in employees. And he said, the number one skill I'll pay for is the ability to get along with other people. Because if that is the skill that is so rare, they may be brilliant, but if they can't get along with others, they're not going to be as effective. So God says, I want you to learn to depend on other people. Success involves others. And so you want to ask yourself this question, who else can I involve?
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Thanks for being with us for today's broadcast. If you'd like a copy of today's message or the entire series, including portions we didn't have time for, just go to PastorRick.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. You know, it's your prayers and financial gifts that help keep this Daily Hope teaching going out day after day to people all around the world. Earlier this month, we let you know about a special $25,000 matching grant that would double your gift by June 30th. Well, we've got some incredible news. Not only did we match the $25,000, but another generous friend was so inspired by your response that he's offered a second matching grant of $15,000. That means whatever amount you send in will be matched up to $15,000. So $25 becomes $50, $100 becomes $200, and $500 becomes $1,000. Whatever you send will be doubled. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, I just want to take a quick second to say thank you, everybody. Because of your generosity, we're able to take the hope of Jesus Christ into places where there are no Bibles, no believers, and no body of Christ, no churches at all. Now, as you pray about giving, I want to ask you to ask God about sending a gift that's the largest you're able to give, because at this point of the year, we have a donor who has offered to match your gift. That means what you give will be doubled. We get twice the bang for the buck, in other words. So please respond quickly and give in such a way that we can maximize it through this matching gift. And I want to ask you this. Would you pray for us at Daily Hope? Pray as we reach out to people around the globe with hope that people will find Christ by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. So thank you for being a partner with me to getting the message out.
We'll say thanks for your gift today, which will be doubled by the $15,000 matching grant, by sending you Pastor Rick's 365-day book, The Daniel Plan Devotional. It's the one essential ingredient you don't want to live without for a better, healthier you. Give now to have your gift doubled and request your copy. Call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or visit us online at PastorRick.com. Again, that's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. There are only 2 days left to have your gift matched, so don't wait. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope Ministry and your generous financial support.